Okay, it is June 19th, 1999, and I'm Luann Johnson, and I'm interviewing Elizabeth Burns in the mall in Bowling Green and Dillard's in the back room. And there may be some
background
noises and intercoms and things like that during our interview. Let's see. Can I get your full name?
Yes. Elizabeth Burns.
Okay. What was your maiden name?
Amar.
Amar?
Mm-hmm. It sounds Muslim, but it's not.
Okay. So where were you originally from?
Philippines.
What area?
I came from Luzon area.
Okay.
The Philippines were divided into three big parts, the Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, and I came from Luzon.
Okay. Well, when did you first move to the United States?
I moved here last 1992, December.
Okay. What brought you here?
I got married.
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, that was awful. We were pen pals.
That's great.
No, it's not. My parents think I'm crazy.
Really? Well, yeah. What was your life like before? When did you...
My life? Life
yeah,
before?
When you, before you... Oh, when you were living
I was so busy. I mean, you know, I came from a small town, like Bowling Green. And then my parents were really much into education. And they really worked so hard to send us all to school. So when I went to school, I went to school in a bigger city like California. And then my sisters, there are seven of us. I'm the second to the youngest. And I went there to the bigger city to help my sister. Because she's already, you know, working and she had a good job. And I went there to just be... guide to her, and just in case, you know, we're so close, family, we don't let our family wander around without each other. So I went there, and then I decided to find a job. And I went to be a working student for a long, long time. I only took, like, maybe three courses at a time, which is not normal, but I love it. I took the easiest courses, too, the one that I haven't have to study. I took banking and finance, and then I graduated, you know, after a year, I graduated, I got married with my pen pal, that my family never even know existed.
How did you find your pen pal?
Well, he writes me. He got these, here in the U.S., they have like... like American, Asian American Association, and I think he got my name over there. It's just like by coincidence. It's not intended or anything, but it was my last years in college that I've been working in this semiconductor company. It's a very big company. It's owned by American investors that went to invest in the Philippines. And a friend of ours, you know, they try to write people all over the world just to make friends. And they told me that, why won't you join and write somebody? And then, you know, I said, oh, you're crazy. You cannot write somebody that you don't even know. It's impossible for you. I cannot even start. You know, can you imagine writing somebody that you don't even know? How would you start?
I don't know.
So I said, no, not for me. And then in that application form, if you want to join into that group, they have like a biodata form and you have to release your picture. And I said, no, I don't want that. But see, if you're a good friend over there, we exchange pictures. And they put my name on it. And they give my pictures, too. And then, like, 5 months later, all these letters were arriving. And I said, no, I'm not going to touch that. You know, I said, I don't want to.
So you didn't even sign up?
No, so. I didn't even sign up at all. I mean, you know.
But your friend put in
my
picture.
My friend put me in. But... Just relax. Somebody's gonna write you. I mean, you know, if you want to have some friends, I mean, you know, this is not the time. You know, you will learn. other cultures from other countries, you don't know, you know, that you don't know. Don't you like that? So I was just saying, I'm busy, you know. I think 5 months, one more semester before I graduate at that time. But I never really think about writing. And when I graduated 91, and then the letters, I never really typed all those letters, but I was so relaxed. I don't have to go to school anymore. All I have to do is just to go to work. So I'm easy go lucky, go to the dorm and, you know, just meet with other friends. And all my letters that are coming in, it slows down. I mean, like, I only receive two letters in a month. And then Ryan's letter arrived, and that's how I met him, you know. And he writes me every week. I said, ooh. And then I think we've been writing for like maybe 6 months. He showed me all his family pictures and stuff, and it really impressive when he writes, because he writes like 2 pages handwritten. I said, woo, he really writes. I mean, you know, you can tell if it is stereoscopy or not. And then I start writing to him, and then I just write like nothing, you know, just like normal friend. And he showed me all his family pictures, and he did not even see me. I didn't even send him a picture of myself. So my family never really had any idea because I don't talk about it. And then he went there to see me. And then my sister said, when my sister found out, she said, don't you know that where he lives, he came from halfway around the world. If you really, you know, have any idea what you're doing, he traveled halfway around the world just to come over here in the Philippines. I said, oh my God. So he went there, and my family likes him, and I said, ooh, and then, you know, that kind of thing. And then he came back there, and then we got married, and my dad doesn't like it at all, because my dad knows a whole lot more. He's more of traveled person, because my dad worked in a ship. So he works a lot, and he knows a lot of cultures. And basically, sadly to say, American is not one of his liking. American cultures, you know, like we get married early, or like woman doesn't have, it's just like carefree, too liberated, as they call it. When my dad is mad, you will know, because he make a point and he uses English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know when he makes a point, because he uses English words, my dad. And then my dad told me that he did not work so hard, send me to school, and ended up marrying an American or out of the country. You know, I prepared you so well that you're going to be okay when we're gone. You know, because I made it. I mean, even if I work, I still made it.
Mm-hmm.
So after a year, I got married, you know, it's okay. You know, he finally accepted it.
So do you have other relatives in the States?
Yeah, I have my sister. My sister got married from Florida, somebody from Florida last 2 years ago. So, but hers is not as bad as what I have, because I am the first one who came out from the country and married a foreigner.
And your sister married?
And my sister married a foreigner too. So hers is not so bad at all, because Glenn really made a good impression in my family. So it's not, and Glenn is a good man, my husband. So he did so good that, you know, foreigners are welcoming. Yeah, and it was I like it, family-wise, you know. You have a family of your own. I'm still clinging to our culture, of course, you know. I told my dad about that.
Yeah. So when you first came over to the States with Glenn, was it your first time out of the Philippines?
Yeah, and out from the Philippines, yes. And I thought it's going to be okay, because Philippines is made up of so many islands. I mean, 6,000 islands with 600 dialects. So, for example, like in my native town, I have different. We use this, you know, different dialects. And when you go to another island, they use this different dialect. So you have to adapt yourself. You cannot just understand there. So when I meet somebody here from the Philippines, I need to communicate with them in using our national language, which we learn from school. If they went to school, they will know that language.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start learning English when you were in school as well?
Yeah, actually, English is the third world English-speaking country in the world, Philippines. And anybody that went to school, I mean, you know, they can comprehend they cannot speak like my mom. She is only an elementary graduate, but my mom can understand English. She cannot, you know, speak properly, but she can, you know, she can understand.
Mm-hmm. So you said education is something your family valued highly. Do most people go on to college in the Philippines?
Some people that really wanted their children to go to school. Yeah, they even sell their property just for the kids to go to school.
So it's not something everyone does. It's something.
No, not something everyone does. But you know, that's so important for us. So that.
So when you first moved here, it was to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Here, right away in Kentucky.
And what was your first impression of moving here?
You would have heard, you might laugh, but I visualized this United States. For some reason, I really did not take a whole lot of history. I'm talking about world history, because we have so much history to learn in our country, because we were under by Spaniards for 400 years. So that the trait that we cling on, and that's the trait that when we go to school, we, oh, this is so-and-so our hero, and you know, so we don't really hardly have the chance to piddle around with the world history. We'll just major fact, like, whoever, you know, like George Washington, the president of the Philippines, and you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, but when I first came over here, I have this in my head that when we go down, you know, tall, big buildings and stuff. So we arrive in Athens, this is so long. I never ride in a plane for 32 hours. It kills me, and it makes me not to like it anymore. That's enough for me for 3 years. It would do me, you know.
So it was the plane ride bad?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because it takes a long time. Can you imagine 2 nights in the plane? And then you have to lay over 6 hours, and then you just have to ride like 3 hours, and then, well, four planes you have to transfer four times.
And were you alone?
No, Glenn went to come and pick me up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when he went to pick me up and we were on our way here, I keep asking him, you know, are we still far? And then he said, yeah. And I was just thinking, how could he ever get married to somebody so far away? And he doesn't even know our culture so much, you know? And then take a rest to marry somebody and bring over here halfway around the world. It is so far. You know, I just realize it when I came over.
So you had no idea you would end up marrying and moving so far away from your your home.
Mm-mm. Never. My dad said I'm crazy. All my sisters too, they said I'm crazy. But see, I got married when I was 26. So I, whether they like it or not, if I'll decide, I can decide. I don't need parental guidance. I am not 23. So that makes a big A for me.
No, when you got here, had you had a chance to meet his? You obviously didn't meet his family before, mm-hmm. but how was your reception?
They're very nice. They're very, you know, they're very nice to me, and they're very considerate that I am not from here. And they try to show me and everything, and then they try to ask me about country music. And what is this country music? You know, I don't hardly hear this country music before, but I know Kenny Rogers, of course. You know, he's popular, and he's, you know, all these singers that universal singers like Michael Jackson. They're so common in the Philippines. Filipinos love music. Mm-hmm. We got karaoke in the house. We have sing-along in the house. My dad brought it to us. I mean, you know, even when I came over here, my first guest from my husband is a sing-along. I just can't live without music. That's all. But when I came over here, it completely changed. Because when I tune in the radio, it's country. I mean, I was just thinking, ooh, country. I never heard such music before. So I keep on tuning on, finding the channel that, you know, it's familiar to my ears.
And have you found one?
Yeah, I found one. 93.0 or something. But, and then, you know, from time to time I listen to country, and then I kind of like it too. You know, country, I like country.
Now, is there music that you miss that you don't have access to now? Or?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I went to go ahead and look for it here in the mall. That's all I do, come over here and look something that is familiar to me, because I miss home so much. The culture shock is so much for me to handle at first.
What was it? What were some of the things?
I live in a small town that's the people is cramped, you know what I mean? They are far, you know what I mean? There's the whole field in there, the whole space, but nobody lives there. But when somebody built a house there, everybody will build a house nearby, you know what I mean? And like here, it's space. The house is space. If you own the property, you're stuck there. If you don't sell that portion, you're there. You don't have a neighbor. And I'm not used to that.
So you're out of the city limits.
I am out of the city limits, and I don't see anybody. I don't hear any noises. I came from big city. And my husband said, why do you like big city that they're fighting over there? They're killing everybody. I said, I'm used to it. That's why I'm comfortable of living. I'm not comfortable of living in a place that, in the middle of nowhere, that I think I'm the only person in the world or something. I mean, you can pee in our yard without seeing nobody. I mean, we live in the country.
11263.
I'm sorry, yes. And I was just thinking, oh my goodness, this is it.
So what was your first reaction when you, like, the very first night you spent in Kentucky?
I brought 3 clothes with me, very thin one, and it was December when I came.
What was the weather like in Philippines?
It's cold. It's 85 degrees all year long.
Oh.
And it's so cold. I don't like it.
No.
At all, the weather. And it's so cold. And so I was wondering about the trees, and I was just thinking, are they still alive? Because there is no leaves anymore. I mean, in the Philippines, with the tree, you look in the tree with no leaves, it's dead. And I was just thinking, they call this place Bowling Green. Where did it came from, Bowling Green? I mean, this is not so much greenery in here, you know. And the language. I learn English from school and read books. I can write better and I can understand better. But for me to say it, there is an accent that people cannot understand because I learn English, not English, you know, like howdy. Or when my husband took me to his work and people say howdy, I mean, I kind of confused. I never heard it from school. I mean, howdy. So I just assumed that that's the shortcut of how do you do. And my husband says, yeah. I said, oh, okay. So there's so much for me to learn. That even if I was just thinking, I say it properly, you know. How come that they cannot understand people here? I'm not speaking right English. I mean, there's no grammar in here. I was just thinking, oh my goodness gracious. So I went, so and my husband was so used to, like, see, I am not from here, and so he wants to just, like, maybe overly protective of me. Can you imagine going to a country that you don't know how to drive? You don't know.
Did you drive in the Philippines?
No, I don't drive. All you have to do over there is stand across there, along the road, read the sign of the jeepneys that are passing by. So if you're going, for example, like at Greenwood Mall, you're there in 31W. So you're there in 31W, and then there's this jeepney there, that signboard to the mall. You get into that jeepney and you bring it to the mall. You know, it's not that you have to be responsible of yourself driving, you know.
You know how to drive now, though.
Oh yeah, I know how to drive. I learned pretty quick, I'll tell you. Because I said there's no way. Mm-mm.
You'd really be trapped out there.
I was. And I, my husband says that, well, we have to have a small vehicle for you. And I took the learning permit. And I read the book. And I heard from people, some people that are not from here, you know, like Jewish people. It's people that, you know, people that just came to America. They said, it's really hard to get a license, you know, driver's license. I said, ooh, this is really hard. I was just, wow, huh? It's really hard. So I told my husband, let me read the book, and then I'll go there and get the exam. And then he said, no, you don't need to get the exam. You have to study first. I said, no, because the worst thing for me to do is to go there, to study hard and go there and flunk. No, I don't think so. I'll go there, do not study, and flunk. I can accept it. At least I did not study. There's a good reason, but the bad reason is I study and I did not make it. No way. So he went to go ahead and, you know, took me down there. And it's really, well, I went to school in the Philippines, so it did not really, I don't think it's so hard. No, no, not at all. It's very basic and very self-explanatory. Just use your common sense, you know. So I passed the test, so he obligated himself to teach me how to drive. So I told him, you're better. after you, I'm a very good student. I'll do whatever you told me to do. Just if I flunk in the driving test, that means you get a problem because I don't have the problem. Because I'll do whatever you told me to do. So if you're a good instructor, I'll pass the test. But if you're not a good instructor, I'll flunk and I don't like it. He challenged him and he said, well, come on. So I arrived with like maybe, when was it? December, I start driving March.
Great. Mm-hmm. Wow. That was fast.
Fast, really fast. Yeah, yep. And then I start to drive stick shift too. I did not, you know, automatic. I did not have automatic. But now I'm driving stick shift and automatic, no problem. Both.
Great.
I'm like a young kid.
Well, I know we're on your lunch break, so how are we doing for time?
Yeah, we're doing great. Guess we still have 20 minutes more.
Okay, great. Because I want to be sure to ask you about other things that you've missed, but also now you have a family.
Mm-hmm.
You have one child.
Yeah.
And what kind of things are important for you to teach him about your background, your culture?
My spiritual values.
Mm-hmm.
And my moral values is the most important thing that I'm gonna, like, you know, like, for example, like when I call him Turner, come over here, and then he would say ha, I mean, that's a big no-no in my country. You have to, yes mom, or you know, it's your parents. That's really hard for me. You know,
yeah.
Being a parent is a very big responsibility, especially if you've grown up in a different culture and, you know, they're mixed with these other kids that have different cultures too.
So what is the big differences that you see that you...
Like, I want him to respect his aunt and uncle. You know, I want him to call it just their name. That's not really polite. You really have to call... For example, like my husband's nieces and nephew, since I'm married to their uncle, they have to call me aunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's no question asked, whether they like me or not. That's what, you know, but my boy, he's adapting that pretty good.
So what other things have you focused on? Are there holidays or certain other celebrations that you miss from when you were living in
the Independence Day.
What day is
July.
That?
July.
What day is it?
No, actually it's June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Independence Day, and American history. American is have a great part in that because they were the reason why we become independent. You know.
What were the celebrations like?
We tried to hang flags, you know, and the American flag it's always there. You know, Philippine flag and American flag is always there whenever there is, because it sounds like in World War II they fought together. In the world history. And then we have a great appreciation towards America because we've been under by the Spanish colony for 400 years, but they never introduced education. But when American people, or when American soldiers went there, I mean, they're nothing but just high school graduates. I mean, you know. But when they find out that the Filipinos, they don't know how to read, they don't know, you know, they try to teach them. And now, you know, they're very competitive. Filipinos are, you know, since from World War II. So we really have. I learned to appreciate more American people when I arrived here in America. When I find out the history, because I really watch TV, you know, I've never been a TV person, but I try to see and watch, you know, what's going on all over the world. And when I first came here, I don't have any friends, but the library, I read.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband asked me why. I just wanted to know my rights. Because I am from a foreign country. I just went there to the library and read. I just read. Whatever books I read the Kentucky Law, I read the, you know, my civil rights, I want to find it out. You know, my husband said, there's not going to happen. There will be nothing wrong will happen to you here. I said, yeah, if I'm with you, but how about if I'm not with you? I just wanted to know my rights. I mean, you know, I'm from a foreign country.
So, Independence Day,
mm-hmm.
What kind of activities, how would you celebrate that in the Philippines?
Sometimes they do the reenactment. That's very common. And we have also the independence from the Spanish colony. We do that too. And we also do like, well, of course, Christmas, you know, and All Souls Day is a big thing in the Philippines, you know, like celebrations for the dead people.
When is that? What?
November 1st. Mm-hmm. All the people brought food in the, you know, cemetery, and just a cemetery day for all the people. Here is Memorial,
I heard.
Yeah. And this is a big thing in the Philippines, too.
So are there differences on how you celebrate these things here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Philippines is 98% Catholic. But we're Baptist.
Your family is
mm-hmm.
Baptist?
Mm-hmm. My dad is. And so they claim to, you know, like, believe in the statue or believe in the, how do you call it? Figures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Catholic, yeah, they do that, and it's 98% over there.
So there's a lot of that.
Solid Catholic. Even my mom was Catholic. She was just converted into Baptist when I was secondary high school, and there are seven of us.
Seven girls? Or
no, seven kids in family.
How many brothers do you have?
I have two.
It's a big family.
A big family, yeah. I wish when I find out soon that when I arrived here, I realized the importance of the choosing of education for me. You know, I wish I should have broadened my mind a little bit when I took, you know, when I majored courses before. You know, because I was so frustrated when I arrived here. And then I went to Western. I went to the international department. And then they told me that they can only honor. I went to go ahead and bring my my transcript of record, and then they told me that they will only honor everything. Like, they can put me in a graduate school if I can provide the scope of all the subject that I took. Even if all the subject that I took is in their curriculum, I have to provide the scope of each subject. But when I read it, I said I took this too, and it's so frustrating.
So you have to retake things here to go into graduate school?
I have to retake things if I can provide it, you know, or else I have to shift into another courses and take, like, for example, like accounting or business. I have to take all those, and if I pass it, I get the credits and just jump into another one.
I see.
And I don't want to do that. I mean, I've been in school for a long time. I don't keep going to school in all my life. I already have 5 years old to raise and a husband to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to miss around school.
If you did go to graduate school, what do you want to study?
Well, I really wanted to go to go into medical field, but my husband really discouraged me about it. So I was just thinking, being a homemaker, I'd rather teach because I'm good with children, you know. And I find out too that I made a lot of research in Bowling Green. I get so frustrated. I try to call, to read, and what I can do. I mean, you know, it seems like my world was just closed, was shut. I mean, can you imagine that you graduate in your country, you thinking that you ended up in a nice, you know, white collar job since you worked so hard for it, and then you're in a country and with your education is not being acknowledged by a university or something? Can you imagine that? Oh, gosh. It's kind of a thing of downfall for me, too, but I just look at the positive side. Like, my husband have a great family, and they really accept it. I love them to death. I mean, you know, they're very nice people, and I'm married to a nice guy. He's a very loving father and a good husband for me, so I cannot really ask for more.
Now, when you were in the Philippines, were there differences that you and Glenn had to confront as your relationship grew, just as far as how you got along as a couple?
Household chores.
Huh?
Household chores.
Yeah? What was the difference?
Some Americans do that too. Like, when I want to get up, I don't want to leave the room without my bed made up, and I want him to do the same. But being him so single for such a long period of time, maybe he kind of like forget about it, you know? That kind of thing. And like, for example, like when we eat, like a couple in the Philippines, you don't eat without a partner. No matter how hungry you are, you have to wait for your spouse. Glenn just in the house is, oh, Mama, I already eat. You eat without me. Oh, okay. Well, I was kind of used to it. So I told him, I'm very flexible. you know, I try to adapt and try to understand things that is not that you are not used to, because you're not. This is not Philippines. This is America. You know, I'm talking about that. I'm with the younger kids here. They're only 24, 19. I mean, 24 years old, 19 years old, 20 years, and there I am, 33. I'm gonna sometimes I'm gonna get scared away. I'll just act like 24 too. I was like, we're gonna have to go somewhere else and have a good time, and then they, you know, wanted me to come. I said, no, I'm with a married man, woman. I don't need to mess around with it. I've done that already. I mean, I have no regret. No, whatsoever.
No, you expressed that when you first got here, it was kind of lonely for
very.
You.
Very.
So, what kind of things did you do to get involved in the community?
Well, I went to go ahead and I went to church. Church is a good thing to turn to. Since I'm Baptist already, so it's really comforting for me to be in a church group since I grew up in a church. And this is it. I was surprised that where I'm a Baptist in the Philippines. If you're a Baptist in the Philippines, you almost know most of the verses in the Bible. And here, you know, I was surprised they don't. So I asked them how many books in the Bible. I mean, look at me. I said, are you kidding? And I said, your favorite. And then he told, and I asked him, so what's your favorite verse in the Bible? I bet you John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then he just started laughing. I said, well, that's a very, very common verse of the Bible, and I'm sure you're going to tell me that. They kind of just like, ooh. Because, you know, I'm very Bible-oriented. I mean, you know, I go Bible study when I was growing up. All the time, morning and night.
So were there other differences on how the church...
Yes. Mm-hmm. There were much more... We're doing it in a more biblical way, like according what the Bible says.
And like, how is it here?
Well, I can understand. In my country, if you're a Baptist, you don't wear pants. In my country...
Women don't.
No, women don't. Not unless you're Catholic or something, but if you're, you know, like Baptist. I am the only one who wear pants in my family. They call me, I'm the black sheep.
So you wear pants here, so therefore you're...
I wear pants over there too,
oh.
And my sister will just... If you're in the big city, sometimes, you know, environmental influence, you cannot really... And in my town, you don't even wear a bathing suit. You have to wear shorts when you go to the beach. It's just so pretty beach. I mean, some people, they will just like have two-piece and dive in, but that's our culture. We have to wear shorts and a t-shirt to go in there. But in the bigger city, it's kind of like more, you know, liberated a little. You wear a swimsuit. I'll wear it too. I'm not in the house. I'm not in my town, so I wear it too. I wear when the style is pants, I wear pants. And my sister can say, remove that. I just said, oh no, this is style. Still go to church. I said, but never. I never go to church with pants on. Always skirt or dress.
And is that still what you do here?
Here. Mm-hmm. And it's early. Or that's one thing that too. That you know, that's one thing too that I really like. You know, like I asked the Lord when I was younger, like when I was in my 20s. I asked the Lord that I want somebody that would take me regularly to the church and be a good husband for me, spiritually will lift me up if, you know, I'm in downfall, which is, you know, I got it, which is, I think I'm very blessed, I think, that even if I married an American, still he's a Baptist and then he's there for me, like, for example, like, we're so down financially, what am I going to do, and you don't have a Lord, so it's going to lift me up, you know, try to... When you're down, you kind of left you up. Yeah, why should you worry? I mean, the Lord will take care of you. If he puts you there, he knows how to take care of you. That kind of thing. So, I mean, I'm pretty lucky when it comes to that. And glad that I'm not married. I've been a married Catholic. Since their upbringing is so different from me. So that's a big A+ for me there.
I'm going to flip the tape over and then I'll ask a few more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Side 2, it's June 19th, 1999, and we're speaking with Elizabeth Burns. And I was going to ask you, then what you mentioned church was a very big help in getting you acquainted with Bowling Green. what other friends or what other activities did you get involved in?
Well, I was involved with this homemaker club.
What is that now?
It's a homemaker club. It's just like a group of women that that are not working, that they gather once a month, and then they try to do like they learn about homemaking. So I went to go ahead and participate, and then I was a member. I was pregnant at that time. And then I was the president of the Younger Homemakers for like 2 years. But I basically talk about, you know, some other cultures and imposes. For example, like we have, is it working?
Mm-hmm.
For example, like we have a program, like we raise money for breast cancer fund. I don't know if you're familiar with that St. Joe kid.
Yes.
Yeah, we raise money for that, and we have like international funds, like money, pennies for friendship. What that is we contribute a penny, and then we buy books for those people outside the country, like Bosnian people. Those people that are not, that their kids needed books, I did a campaign for that to raise funds for them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I did that for 2 years, and then another 2 years, I become the president of the International Homemakers in Warren County. So I did that too, and then I do like international people, and then I try to get some speakers and try to talk about their cultures and where they came from, and it's fun. I like it.
Great. What kind of friends have you made through there?
Hmm?
What kind of friends? What other cultures have you
learned
about?
Oh, I met Cambodian. I met like Chinese Ray, you know, and Peru, and what else? I don't know, Australia or Sola, just Guatemala, and here at work too. You know, there's been a lot of people here.
Yeah.
And I'm a very friendly kind of person, you know?
Yes, I can tell.
I do.
So, are there a lot of other Filipinos in the area?
There are quite a few, but, you know, some of them are just staying home, and some of them, you know, just go to work, too. Sometimes we get together, and my son's birthday, all the Filipinos are in my house.
Really?
All of them. My husband works as chief building inspector for the city. And when he issued pyramid and he'd be seen like this, a Filipino-looking person, hello, asked, are you a Filipino? He said, yes, I'll go to my house. My wife is a Filipino.
So that's how you met all of these people?
Through my husband.
So how funny. Many people came to your son's birthday party?
60.
60?
Mm-hmm. That's very common.
So most of which were Filipino?
Yeah. The kids, of course. Some are Americans too. You know, you can see a lot of people in different kinds of cultures: black, white. You know, Cambodian, Filipino, Japanese. In my son's birthday.
Was the birthday celebration? Were there any elements of it that were specifically Philippine, but that you had as a birthday celebration in the Philippines, or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we have a birthday, we usually held it.
You what?
We usually held it. We usually have a party. When there's a birthday in the family, we usually have a party. Not, you know.
What kind of things do you do at the party?
Roast the whole pig.
Did you do that for your son's birthday?
Oh, yeah. Every year. You're invited if you want. Bessie, she goes all every year.
What other kinds of foods do you prepare?
I like to eat rice, of course. You know, I grew up with rice. And
11252.
I had American food when I was pregnant with my son, because I read books, and whatever is good for the baby, I eat it. Whatever good for the baby, I eat. I mean, I don't have my family over here, so I just read books. Book is my guidance when I was pregnant, because it's too expensive to call 70 cents a minute.
Yeah.
So I just read books. Eat cottage cheese, eat fruit, eat all that kind of stuff.
So you ate foods you never usually did.
Mm-hmm. I learned to eat American food when I was pregnant with my boy.
Wow.
And then I kind of like it until now.
What other things did you miss being so far away from your
my mom,
yeah.
The closeness of the family, and the beaches.
Yeah.
Of course, and the weather, 85 degrees long. You don't have to put lotion on. You get a pretty skin. Here, you really have to cover you? I like it though. But this, I was just thinking that this is my son, this is where my son born, and this is, I got married to somebody, the Lord put me here, so I need to adjust myself to whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And besides, I'm lucky to have Glenn's family, that they're very nice people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good thing. I mean, you know, I think the Lord do his purpose in bringing me in here. I can adjust, I mean, you know. I told my husband I'm very flexible, so I'm flexible.
Have you been back to visit the Philippines?
Yeah, twice.
Moved? Twice. Mm-hmm. Do they come to visit you, your family?
No.
Will they in the future?
I don't know, because they're all married. And my mom, I lost my dad the year I arrived here. So I don't know about my dad, my mom. She might come over because my sister is already in Florida.
You got to go. All right, well, I thank you. That was really one of my last questions.
Okay.
Is there anything that you want to add with keeping in mind that this is going into the archives and for future generations to listen to and do research from? Or is there
You're interviewing me right now. I have different, like, reports about what's going on in the Philippines. But when I went to the Philippines, people there are getting liberated too, and I was so shocked. And so maybe, like, you know, 10 years or 20 years from now, the values completely change, you know, in the Philippines. You don't know, and especially the well-populated. A lot of religion went in there too. So that contributed. So it's complete. Because when I talked to my mother, you know, she said it used to be way back here in Kentucky. It's just the same thing. And then it's just suddenly, boom, gone. So maybe that's the culture when I left. But when I come back 20 years from now, it's different. You know?
Yeah, I know.
So, well, thank you for interviewing
me. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.